Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in RKO Radio Pictures' delightful comedy, Gildersleeve's Bad Day. It stars Harold Perry in his famous screen and radio character, the Great Gildersleeve, supported by his well-known cast of characters. The Lady Esther, Screen Guild players in Gildersleeve's Bad Day. As it must come eventually to all good men and true, there comes now to certain citizens of Summerfield the call.
Got a summons for you. Jury duty tomorrow morning. Judge Hooker's court.
It's the case of the state versus Louis Barton, who was caught while robbing the First National Bank. And to some of Louis's faithful pals, the impending trial spells double trouble.
I see the afternoon paper, well. They give Louis the whole front page.
But they know they're going to get him towed unless we do something.
Like what?
Well, like this letter I took up today. Listen, Toad, get a load of this. Dear sir, if you can persuade yourself and the other juries that Louis Barton is not guilty, there will be $1,000 in United States currency delivered to you immediately after Louis is sprung. Signed, anonymous.
Oh, going to send it to one of the jurors, huh?
Well, no. Snatch.
Yeah, but which one? Suppose we picked the wrong character, and he's ethical to the extent of putting us where Louis is.
We won't pick the wrong one. I got the jury list right here. Let's see. Richard Peavy?
No, he owns the drugstore. He probably don't need the dough.
Oh. Mr. Henry Potter? Nah. He won't be thinking of money. The paper says you're getting married tonight. Now, here's a name. Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Throckmorton. Are you kidding?
That's what it says here. Throckmorton P.
Don't go no further, Al. I heard enough. Well, any guy with a label like that, I'll bet 8-1 that guy's our pigeon.
And besides, they found poison in the food. Enough poison to kill everybody in the house. And they proved an innocent man had been wrongly convicted. What do you say to that?
Mr. Gildersleeve, you want your eggs boiled?
Yes, please, Bertie. Then there's the case of State versus Minnie Hoffberger, Boston, 1923. Minnie was accused of throwing her husband out of a third-story window. He lit on a pile of coal.
Hot or so?
That's beside the point, Bertie. It was a pile of coal.
I mean the eggs, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, the eggs. About 4 minutes, Bertie. If you can do it in three, so much the better.
Morning, Uncle Mort.
Well, good morning, Leroy. Now, Bertie, to continue.
A letter for you, Uncle. It was in the mailbox.
Letter? Thank you, my boy. Let's see. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. The defendant was on the stand undergoing cross-examination. Isn't it true that you discussed the possibility of murdering your husband?
Huh?
Well, isn't it?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I ain't even married.
Answer the question. Answer the question, yes or no?
No, sir.
Your witness, sir.
Mine?
I mean, she may step down.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I ain't even up.
Hey, Unc, you're not going to be the district attorney in this trial. You're just going to be a juror.
Keep quiet, Leroy, quiet. Besides, what's more important than a juror? Especially one with my legal background.
Yeah, I guess a background's pretty important when all you have to do is sit.
Yep. That's beside the point, Leroy. And furthermore...
Somebody's honking outside.
Uncle Mort, Judge Hooker and your share of the Rye group are waiting out front.
They are? Bertie, never mind the eggs. Just pour me a slice of toast. I mean, slice me a cup of coffee. Oh, forget it. I'll go along as I am.
In your bathrobe?
I promised I'd be ready with... Silly me. My coat's in the hall. Here, Marjorie, I'll leave this robe with you.
Good idea, Uncle Mort. I plan to send it to the cleaner today.
Oh, I'll have to rush. Goodbye, everybody, and wish me luck.
Why should we have to wish him luck? Uncle Mort's not on trial.
No, but the trial isn't over yet.
Now, sir, your name is Louis Barton.
Well,
I object. What you object? Now, look, Gildersleeve, you're just a juror.
Your Honor, he was asking a leading question.
Quiet.
In Section 364 of the Penal Code, it specifically states...
Quiet, Throckmorton, and sit down.
You old goat.
Prosecutor will continue.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor. Now then, will the defendant please tell the court his name?
My name's Louis Barton.
And your occupation?
Explosives engineer.
Oh, I see. I see. And, of course, that accounts for your possession of a bottle of nitroglycerin when arrested in the alley back of the First National Bank on the night of...
I object!
Your Honor, this is too much. Is this juror acting as defense counsel, too?
If it pleases Your Honor...
Silence!
But, Your Honor, it's not been proved that the defendant had nitroglycerin in his possession. And the bottle in question has not been introduced as evidence. According to Section 300...
Throckmorton, Gildersleeve, you will return to your seat and listen to the evidence, or this court will find you in contempt.
But, Horace, at your...
Sit down!
Yes, sir?
District Attorney will proceed.
They're hanging an innocent man.
Leroy, do you think Uncle Mort will be on the jury very long?
Not if the jury has anything to say about it.
Gee, I hope they'll be free soon, Marge. We need him to help us raise money for the canteen fund.
Mm-hmm. Unky's done better than anyone. He got Mrs. Hastings to pledge $1,000. She's going to send it over tomorrow.
Gee, that's swell. $1,000. And with what we raised at the dance and on the program.
And our home front drive.
Home front drive? What's that?
That was Mary Ellen's idea. You see, you go to the butcher and the grocer and people like that, and you say, we think you ought to give 10% of all the business you get from us this week. You can raise a lot of money that way.
Why don't you just get a gun?
Don't be silly. It's for charity. Here, help me check this bundle for the cleaners. Uncle Mort's blue suit and his brown suit and his cutaway.
He hasn't worn that since Hoover was elected.
Well, you can't tell. The Republicans might win again someday. His sport coat, his gray suit.
Hey, that gray suit was just cleaned last week.
Leroy, don't be petty. Another cleaning won't hurt it a bit. Smoking jacket, bathrobe.
Oh, hold it, Marge. Something just dropped out of the bathrobe pocket. Look, a letter. I wonder...
Don't you dare open that letter, Leroy.
Yeah, I wouldn't open it. It's open already. You know, Uncle Mort was wearing this robe at breakfast.
Leroy.
Well, after all, it might be important, and he might have forgotten it in the rush and being tied up in the jury. He might want us to... Holy smoke.
What's the matter?
Get a load of this. If you can persuade yourself and the other jurors that Louis Barton is not guilty, gee, somebody's trying to bribe Uncle Mort.
Why, that's ridiculous.
No, it's anonymous. He's offering $1,000.
$1,000 or $1,000,000, it wouldn't do any good. And, Leroy, you can just forget that letter. Uncle Mort is as honest as the day is long. He'll be the first one to send that crook to jail.
Sure he will, Marge. Sure he will.
I hope.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I must be honest with myself. I find I'm still forced to vote not guilty.
Gildersleeve, we're 11 to 1 for conviction. After all, man, the evidence...
The evidence is purely circumstantial. I'll leave it to Mr. Peavy here.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. The man was caught right there in the bank.
That makes no difference. Anybody might walk into a bank, even me. This fellow is simply a victim of circumstances.
And I wouldn't say that. He's already served 3 terms for robbery.
This has nothing to do with the case, Peavy. Remember, there were no fingerprints. There was no loot found on his person. No corpus delicti.
Oh, Gildersleeve, you don't know what you're talking about. We're 11 to 1. Now vote for conviction and let's get out of here.
Mr. Potter, this is a matter of justice.
That's what I say. I got to get back to my drugstore.
Peavy, you can get somebody else to take care of your drugstore.
Yes, but what about me? I was married last night. What about my wife?
Anybody else got any questions?
Well, how about it, gents? Any decision yet?
Not yet, bailiff. We're still tied up.
It's midnight, gents. You gonna stay out all night?
We will if Gildersleeve has his way.
It's after 2, gents. Are you going to be much longer?
Oh, I wouldn't say too much longer, bailiff. I think we're beginning to see eye to eye.
Hello?
Huh? Yeah, this is Judge Hooker. What's the idea, bailiff? It's 3 a.m. Oh, you reached a decision, huh? All right. I'll get dressed and come over. Gentlemen of the jury, have you arrived at a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We find the defendant not guilty.
Did you say not guilty?
Mm-hmm. That's right, Judge.
Very well. The defendant is discharged.
Thanks, Your Honor.
Thanks, fellas. Gentlemen, I don't have to tell you my opinion of this verdict. How 12 men could so utterly disregard
the
evidence.
We want to convict him, Judge, but Gildersleeve convinced us of a reasonable doubt.
Oh, Gildersleeve. Well, I'm convinced of a reasonable doubt myself.
Oh, are you, Horace? Are you really?
Yes, a reasonable doubt of my own sanity in ever having let you serve as a juror in this court. That's all, gentlemen. The jury is dismissed.
Well, we done it, Louie. We done it, all right.
What do you mean?
Told me we sprung you. We got you out of that rap.
Huh? Yeah, sure. That fat guy on the jury, Gildersleeve. We got to him for a grand. That's why he held out.
Yeah, that's why it took us so long.
No kidding. Well, boys, that was swell. And your pal Louie ain't gonna... Where'd you get the grand?
Oh, we just promised it to him.
Yeah. We never had no real intentions.
Now, wait a minute. You say you promised the guy a grand?
Yeah.
Then the guy gets a grand.
Louie, are you nuts?
No, I'm ethical. The guy did like you told him, didn't he? He kept his part of the deal, didn't he? So we keep ours. Louie Barton ain't no Welcher.
But we ain't got the grand.
So we get a grand. It's early yet, and I know just the spot.
But, Louie, you just got out of one rap.
You heard me. I said Louie Barton ain't no Welcher. Now, pipe down, both of you, and get out the tools.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Women who have tried Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder tell me it's the most youthful and flattering shade I've ever achieved. They tell me they can actually see the years slip away, can see themselves become 10 years younger looking. I'd like you to try Bridal Pink for the first time on one cheek only. Compare it with any shade you've ever used. See the difference for yourself. See the fresh, young look it gives your skin. The soft, warm look, like the blush of a bride's young cheek. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is intensely flattering to almost every skin it touches. Whether your hair is blonde, brown, auburn, or black, Bridal Pink will instantly make you look more vital and alive, more youthful. Yes, and more daringly romantic. Lady Esther Face Powder is made differently. It's blown by the tremendous force and speed of hurricanes, and it's so highly pulverized that it's light and cool as a summer breeze on your face. It clings 4 hours and longer, completely covering tiny lines and blemishes. And the color is so vibrant, so alive, even your eyes light up. Your lips look more entrancing. Ask your dealer for Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Accept no other powder, no other shade, for remember, only Lady Esther Bridal Pink can give you that radiant look, that happy, confident look, that look of a woman in love.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Gildersleeve's Bad Day, starring Harold Perry as the great Gildersleeve. Well, it's later the same morning, considerably later, and glowing with a little sleep and a righteous sense of duty well done, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve comes down to breakfast.
Well, good morning, everybody. Beautiful morning. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning.
And Marjorie, my dear, how are you this morning?
I'm not quite sure. The papers say you set that criminal free last night.
Uh-huh. Good to know that justice isn't always blind. I like to think...
Uncle Mort, how could you?
Yes, I... How could I what?
A leading citizen, upright and respected, doing an awful thing like that.
What are you talking about?
Now you stole, Uncle. We saw the letter.
Letter? What letter? What in the world are you...
Go ahead, Marge. Show it to him. Here it is, Uncle Mort. It was in the pocket of your bathrobe.
Huh?
Go on, read it.
Read it. Dear sir, if you can persuade yourself and the other jurors... But this isn't mine. I never saw this letter.
Are you kidding? You opened it.
You mean yesterday? That's right, I did open it. But I never read it. Don't you remember, my dear, the carpool came by and I left in a rush?
That's true, Marge, he did. And Uncle Mort, you mean you never made a deal with this person?
Of course not. I held out for acquittal because I honestly believed the defendant was innocent.
Oh, Uncle Mort, I'm so glad.
The idea. You might at least have given me the benefit of the doubt.
just because you found that letter.
Oh, gee, we're sorry, Uncle Mort. It hurt us, too.
Yeah, well, next time, don't be so quick to judge.
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie?
Man just left his envelope for you.
Well, thank you, Bertie. And you children needn't look so suspicious. I'll open it right now.
Holy smoke! Money!
$100 bills. And a note. Here is the money as promised.
Oh, Uncle Mort,
and we believed you. No, he wouldn't make a deal, not him.
Now, just a moment, you two. You don't really think that... Oh, this is awful. Fantastic. It's the most... Wait a minute. I know.
Sure, so do we.
Yeah. It's for Mrs. Hastings, for the canteen fund. She said she sent over $1,000 today.
Of course, that's it. Oh, Uncle Mort, I'm so sorry.
Hold on to your hats. Here we go again.
Leroy, this is no time for jokes. Once and for all, I want it plainly understood that I had nothing whatever to do with those crooks.
We're really sorry. We apologize.
Well, accept it. That leaves me only one thing to do.
What?
Take this money over to Judge Hooker's place. Isn't he chairman of the fund?
Gildersleeve, I shouldn't even be talking to you this morning. After the way you acted last night...
Now, Horace, that's not the right sort of attitude. I brought you a contribution to the canteen fund. $1,000 from Mrs. Hastings. Here you are.
Oh? Well, in that case, sorry I've been so touchy, Gildy. Not getting any sleep and all.
Sure, Horace, it's your old age. I understand that.
Put this money in the safe and I'll write you a receipt.
Yeah, Horace, safe. Wouldn't it be better in the bank?
Why?
Well, I mean, that safe doesn't look very rugged to me.
Oh, nonsense, Gildy. Guaranteed to be burglar-proof. Got $1,000 of my own money in here.
Oh.
Yeah. I just put this envelope in my, Hey, that's funny.
Oh? What's the matter, Horace? Anything wrong?
Wrong? Wrong? Why, you simpering idiot, I've been robbed.
Yeah. Honestly, Peavy, you should have seen him. I thought Horace was going to blow a fuse. I'll have another cup of coffee, please.
That makes four altogether.
Yeah.
Were there any clues, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Clues? Oh, lots of fingerprints. But they were all Judge Hooker's. I suggested they take Horace in on suspicion. Yeah, that's when he really got mad.
I can imagine. Well, they ought to trace that money pretty easy. I understand the judge kept a record of all the numbers of the bills.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's only natural. They were big bills, I hear. $10 $100 notes.
$10 $100.
Good afternoon, Mr. Peavy.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Hastings.
And Mr. Gildersleeve, how lucky for me. I was just going out to your place with this check.
Check?
Yes. For the canteen fund. $1,000.
$1,000.
Well, I promised it to you, don't you remember?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I certainly. Thanks, Mrs. Peavy. Hastings. Thanks a lot. $1,000. I gotta rush now. A lot of things to do. Be seeing you sometime. Oh, brother, much obliged. Goodbye.
Such an odd man. But he must have so many things on his mind.
Well, I agree he's odd, all right, but not so sure he's got a mind.
See, Marjorie, it all adds up. If that $1,000 I got didn't come from Mrs. Hastings...
It must have come from someone else. From those crooks.
Right. They must have thought I was playing their little game with them.
And they robbed Judge Hooker to pay you off.
Oh, brother. That's what makes it so bad. Horace has the numbers of those stolen bills. And when he checks that money I took to him...
He'll figure you're the one who robbed his safe.
Gee, Aunt, you're on the spot. You could go to jail.
Leroy, don't mention that word. Oh, how do I get into these things?
Must be a talent.
Yeah.
Uncle Mort, what'll you do? You can't deny you gave that money to Judge Hooker.
No.
And now it's in his safe. You can't get it out.
No. 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 I can't, can I? I can't get it out.
What has he got to laugh about?
I guess it's a strain. Come on, Leroy. We better put him to bed.
I can't get it out, can I?
Yeah.
Jerry. This is sure a swell idea, coming back to get that door again.
You're positive Fatso Gildersleeve brought it back here, Al?
Oh, yeah. After we left the Grand at his house, you see, we tailed him over here.
And we looked through the window, and there he is, handing it over to the judge. Gee, it seemed like a lot of wasted effort.
Well, we worked that safe once, we can do it again.
Yeah. It's getting to be a habit, Louie.
Yeah, watch your step, though. There's a copper sitting out in front in that prowl car. The judge must ask for police protection.
Yeah, he needs it. I can hear that copper snoring clean over here.
Yeah, okay. Let's get in there. Hey, what's that?
What?
Somebody coming out of that window.
Gee, look. It's him. The same guy.
Yeah. Fatso Gildersleeve.
Pretty smart plant, all right. He turns over the dough and then comes back here and lifts it. Only he ain't gonna get away with it.
Yeah, what are we gonna do?
Take him for a ride.
But we ain't got no car.
So we get a car. You handle Fatso. Leave the rest to me.
Oh. Hello. Hello, headquarters. This is Judge Hooker. Yeah, I had a bad dream a few minutes ago. Woke me up and I went into the den to get a book and... No, there was no police car out in front. If there was, I wouldn't be calling you. Who cares what happened to your old police car? Somebody robbed my safe again.
Just keep your hands on the wheel, Fatso. Remember, there's three of us sitting back of you.
Yeah, three of us. And a gun.
Where are you making me drive to, gents?
Oh, to a nice quiet spot in the country, pal.
Is this trip absolutely necessary?
You know, Al, I think we used a suicide routine on him.
Suicide?
Yeah. You don't look too well anyway.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars.
Oh, this must be a police car.
Now, ain't that interesting?
Be on the lookout for police car 61. Police car 61. Stolen from in front of Judge Hooker's home.
And we could tell him where it is, too, you know?
I hate that laugh. Say, that's right, we could. We really could.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars.
Hey, turn it off. That's so I heard enough.
Be on the lookout for police car 61.
Did you hear what I said?
Police car 61.
Hey, you.
Huh?
Oh,
turn it off.
Yes, sir. There's a switch on the dashboard.
Yes, sir. I see it. Got it right here.
Calling all cars.
Now, they don't talk to us, and we don't talk to them.
Yeah, of course not. Not at all. Me. Oh, I am Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, driving police car 61.
Hey, is that guy nuts?
Singing on the way to his funeral.
Singing on the way to my funeral. I am Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, and I'm being taken for a ride. I am Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, and soon I will be dead.
The most amazing thing, Judge Hooker. That's why I sent for you. I'll tune in car 61 on the radio again. Now listen, Judge.
Singing on the way to my own funeral, singing on the way to my grave. You know, fellas, when the police find out that you robbed Judge Hooker's house two nights in a row, it's going to be pretty tough for you, Barton.
Louis Barton.
And how do you figure they'll find out, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Gildersleeve.
Oh, they'll find out, all right. Yes, sir. Well, I am Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on the beautiful Oak Post Road.
The Oak Post Road. Come on, Judge, we gotta hurry.
I am Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve on the beautiful Oak Post Road, going far, far away.
He's giving me the creeps with that singing.
I'll let him enjoy himself while he can.
Thanks. And it won't be long now unless somebody helps me.
Yeah, with a voice like that, it won't be.
You know, Al, it's kind of funny him singing like that. I think I better take a look at that. Sure, he's got that microphone on.
Hey, that didn't hear every word we said.
Stop the car, you. Stop the car.
All right, brother, I will.
Stop. Don't turn that wheel. Don't. Help.
Did was spin the wheel, and when I woke up, I was here in the hospital.
Oh, Unky, you're wonderful.
You're terrific, Unc.
Well, it wasn't really anything at all.
By the way, Horace, how are the three crooks?
They'll live to do a nice long stretch.
Great.
Uncle Mort, I'll bet you voted to let that guy go just so you could round up his pals.
Of course he did. I knew it all along.
Well.
How about it, Throckmorton? Was that it?
Well, everyone seems to be agreed. And you know me, Horace. I always go along with the majority.
Thank you, Harold Perry, and all the rest of you who have given us such a delightful half hour. Your appearance here tonight with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players has contributed a great deal to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, both largely supported by this radio program. Heard tonight in support of the great Gildersleeve were Walter Tetley as Leroy, Louise Erickson as Margie, Lillian Randolph as Bertie, Earl Ross as Judge Hooker, and Richard LeGrand as Mr. Peavy. Thanks again to all of you. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Do you know that women who think they take the best possible care of their skin often damage their skin most? For they use too many different kinds of preparations. The really best care of the skin is the modern, simplified method of one cream, as exemplified by Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream. It does the four things your skin needs most for beauty. First, Lady Esther Face Cream cleans your skin. Cleans it thoroughly, but gently. Second, it softens your skin. Absorbs the dry, clinging flakes that ruin the effect of makeup. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. Makes the texture of your skin look smoother and finer. And fourth, it leaves a perfect base on which powder clings longer and looks more glamorous. Yes, Lady Esther Face Cream, this one cream by itself, does all these four things. And a single application leaves your skin so smooth and fresh, so free of clinging dry flakes, that when you apply your face powder, the effect is truly beautiful. If you have the courage to look 10 years younger, if you have the courage to look daringly romantic, try this. First apply Lady Esther Face Cream. Wipe it off completely. Then apply Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. Bridal Pink, the shade that does so much for your appearance, that makes you look so much more radiant and alive. Ask for Lady Esther Four-Purpose Face Cream and Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present Laura. It will star Jean Tierney, Clifton Webb, David Bruce, and Dana Andrews. Be sure to listen. Harold Perry appeared through the courtesy of the Kraft Cheese Company. And his own show, The Great Gildersleeve, returns to the air September 2nd on another network. Gildersleeve's Bad Day was presented through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther Face Cream to buy a box of Lady Esther Face Powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Ted Myers speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.